Welcome to Yentl and Nikki's podcast.
We're just two Jersey girls that are insanely bored and are ready to talk about anything, everything, and sometimes, honestly, nothing at all.
I know you got shit to do today. That's right. Sports.
It's a big night.
Sports. Is it? What is it?
Now, do you know what I'm singing? Humming or whatever?
It's some sort of sports theme song. I'm assuming NBA.
Okay. I'm assuming because I know.
Yeah.
Okay. You're correct. However, for the sports fans of the NBA, that little jingle, I know the people who know, they know, because that was a jingle that NBA on NBC back in the 90s and probably early 2000s, they had that jingle when a game was being shown on that channel. That jingle, by the way, for a little more nerding out, that jingle was produced by John Tesh.
That guy, Fields of Green and Clouds of White.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
John Tesh. Yep. That John Tesh, he created that jingle, sold it to NBC, and they used it for their NBA program for a very long time. And then in the early 2000s, NBA sold their TV deal to ABC, which it still is ABC/ESPN. So that is a nerd of history, but that is a famous jingle. And recently I was watching a commercial during the playoffs, and Kevin Hart, I don't know what ad it was for. I feel like it might have been either a drink or an insurance company. Okay. I don't know. There's an ad, and Kevin Hart is being featured, and he's dancing around, and they're playing that old little jingle from the 90s, and I was like, how? So I don't know who owns that jingle now, but whatever, they purchased it or licensed it for this stupid ad that Kevin Hart's dancing around in, and it like
so
brought me back
the
to the 90s
anymore.
In the early 2000s the NBA, their rights went to ABC, which they did not take the jingle. That is the NBC jingle. So now ABC. But however, this summer, there is a new deal happening, and all the networks are bidding. So we don't know where the NBA will be next year. But so maybe I'll go back to NBC and we get the jingle back.
Okay.
I'm at NBC, and I negotiated the rights deal to the NBA for however long, I would bring that shit back. I'm requesting NBC to win so that I can have Now I wonder, does John Tesh still get paid off that?
He
just sold it.
Unless he, I mean, I guess in theory he could have just sold it and he doesn't
sold it?
retain any
ownership.
Right. But
I don't know. Very interesting questions on licensing, or you just selling a jingle, you created the jingle for NBC and you get nothing else, that no residuals.
Right. I would think
it's not like it was a song.
No, but
right. It's just a jingle.
He is a song, right? Like he was in, or is, I don't know if he still does music, but he was in that industry. So I feel like if anybody was wise enough to like get residuals or to, you know, negotiate,
it would be
that
John Tesh. I don't know. Cause
you don't think?
The 90s and like, you know, people got screwed so badly. I think today there would be some sort of written nice negotiation in favor of an artist. But back then they were kind of ripping people off. I mean, they still rip people off, but they were really ripping people off back then. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Now I gotta go Google it. And
I know, right? Exactly.
It's
like, the moment you said it, I was like, oh, that's why that man's rich. Like, he just made his money off of
the... Oh, he didn't get rich off that, though.
I mean, but I would... Again, I do love the one song that I know of his. It is beautiful. I hear it all the time. So I'm sure that rakes in a pretty penny. But I feel like anything related... Like my thinking,
I don't know about the NBA jingle, but
but I'm also like, it's the NBA, so I don't know if anyone's got money.
That's
from the
true.
NBA.
Like, who did he sell it to? Did he sell it? I'm assuming he sold it to NBC because I haven't heard it since NBC used it for their NBA jingle. So
okay.
They sold it. He sold it to a network. And I'm just curious, as he get, I mean, at this point, you don't, well, I was going to say it's not used, but I just saw Kevin Hart commercial. He's dancing to
dancing
it. So
to it.
It is being used. So, but the question is, who owns it at this point? I don't know.
That is
probably a record label. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, might be.
And neither one of them.
Right, exactly. Jeez, that is so interesting. Okay, well, did we say
sorry
hello?
To nerd out on that.
No. I love it. Sports.
Sports!
I feel like I have seen a sketch where it's somebody just making up nonsensical words to that jingle, like gonna go play some basketball, basketball.
Yeah.
So that's probably the reason why I know it, not because I've actually heard it during a sporting event. I saw some sketch and was like, oh, that's about basketball.
At some point, I will say, in the 2010s when ringtones were like about to fade away, that was my ringtone. So I purchased it from Apple. It was my iPhone ringtone for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You are serious.
I am a little serious.
Okay. Damn. If the Knicks had their own ringtone, I'm sure you would have been all over it.
Okay, so, but there is a Knicks song. I'm going to nerd out one more time since you brought
it
up.
No,
since
go for
it. Since you brought it the fuck up.
I didn't say it. You said it. Okay, yeah,
there
I know.
Is a Knicks song. And it came out in the 90s. I forgot the name of the artist, but there was some, he's not an artist. Let's be clear. I think he worked for Madison Square Garden / the Knicks at some point, and he was fucking around with music, and he made this kind of cheesy song in the 90s. And it starts out, we are the New York Knicks. And the biggest part of the thing, which they still used in 2024, if you're in the Madison Square Garden, it's like a chant, go New York, go New York, go. And it's like this like hip hop-y song. It's a white guy. Mm-hmm. And actually a couple years ago, he's on Instagram and he did like the background and explained like how he came up with the song. But at some point he worked for the Knicks and they play it. They playing it in 90s. They still play it today. So the Knicks do have a technically their own little hip hoppy, little bebop-y song that they still play at the Garden every game. So there is a Knicks song. And now that you mentioned that, I'm going to go on iTunes to see if I can have it as my ringtone. And I don't even use my ringtone, but I'll buy it. I'll support it. Now I gotta
go find
it. You
can make it like your like alarm sound or something. Like when you're getting up in the morning, you can make it safe. We are the Knicks. Go Knicks, go whatever it is.
Go New York, go.
Go New York, go.
I'm in. Thank you. Right now it's Beyonce, but it will be the Knicks.
Oh, that is. But I see what you got right there. Oh my God. Is that from her new? From her new merch?
This t-shirt is from the Renaissance Tour, but it's very ironic because she has on the cowboy hats.
Yes, she does. So,
yes.
She was letting you all know.
Yes.
Yeah. She was letting us know
shirt.
What was coming.
She was doing her shit. And like, we were like, Renaissance. And she's like, no, bitch, it's about to be country. And then she released country music. There we go.
She did. She really did. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, here enough of my rambling about sports.
Hi.
What's going on, Nikki?
I love sports.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the pod.
Hi.
It is May. Happy May Day. It is spring. It is actually, I heard it's hot there. It's really disgusting here. It's hot over there. Mm-hmm. We are in spring mode.
Yeah.
I am happy. Yep. Are you happy?
I am happy. So today, because it was a very, very nice day, so like mid-80s, I like forced myself to go outside and I'm trying to start running again, y'all. I haven't ran in forever. Yeah. So I forced myself to go out during lunch.
How was it?
And it hurt. It's been a minute, but it's okay. I did a nice little, you know, walk run for like really only 15 minutes, like legit just to get back out there.
Pump the legs.
Exactly. So no, but it was beautiful. It was nice. I ran along the waterfront. it like and a beautiful breeze was coming off. It was very, very nice. So
sounds lovely.
Yeah, it was wonderful. But weekend? Should I get into weekend?
Let's just do it. What's going on? What have you been up to?
Nothing. I do this every week. I met up with some friends for brunch on Saturday. We did another.
Well, I am glad that you are having a social life.
Yes. We be out here doing the brunches.
I am very happy.
The brunches. Yes. So did that.
Now, where'd you guys go?
You know, now I'm sitting here and I'm like, wait, was that 2 weekends ago or was that this? No, that was this past weekend. No, we did. We went to this place.
Where did y'all go?
It was West Village, this place called Dante.
Okay.
I may have mentioned it before. It's one of my go-tos now because they have a martini happy hour where their martinis, which are normally 20, are $10. It's nice. I mean, it's a little smaller, truth be told. It's a little bit of a smaller martini portion pour, but they're strong. So I'm okay with having the $10 mini martini during the happy hour. So we did that. And then we just chilled afterwards. Like we kind of just walked around and explored the West Village. We ended up like going out to like a piano bar in not Chelsea, like Christopher Street area. So very LGBTQ, you know, friendly. There was a lot of Gaga. There was a lot of show tunes, which you know I fucking love. So I was like, why am I not going here all the time? So no, it was a good time. It was a blast. And then just chilled on Sunday. And that was it. How was your weekend? I know it must have been crazy because I feel like, games and whatnot.
There was basketball games. This past weekend, I was going to say Toronto, but that is completely incorrect. I went to the other side of Canada. I went to Vancouver. And it was great. The reason I was there, because I saw live Justin Timberlake.
Oh, shut your fucking mouth. Ugh.
I did.
When was the concert? It was during the weekend?
It was Monday night. I came back on Tuesday, but I just stayed the weekend in Vancouver, which is a really cute city. It is Pacific Northwest to the T. The weather is rainy and, you know, kind of that cloudy, cold thing happening and it's a lot of trees and mountains and shit. So it's pretty and it's on the water and all of that. So Vancouver was cool. I would definitely go back for longer at some point. There's not a lot of Black people there, but there's a big Asian population. So that, I guess that counts. That is the diversity in that region. But it's great. I had good Asian food. The whole bit. It was a good, nice weekend. And of course, to top it off was JT.
How was it?
It was great. So, okay. First of all, the backstory is that when I lived in New York City, I had two friends I'd made while working in New York City. We learned that we were all big NSYNC fans as a kid and had followed the journey of Justin Timberlake in particular, throughout his solo career. And this was fucking 10 years ago, which is wild. I can't believe it's been 10 years. Yep. But anyway, 10 years ago, Justin was touring with his album, not Future Sex. What's the other one? 2020 Experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we 10 years ago that, hey, we all love JT. This album is good. Let's go see him. So we all got our tickets and we saw him at Madison Square Garden. And it was phenomenal. We did not have great seats because Madison Square Garden, even 10 years ago, was $1 million. But fuck it, we was in the building. We saw JT. Yeah. It was great. So fast forward 10 years later, he pulls out this new album and slash tour. Yeah, none of us loved the new album, but you know what? when you go see someone you love, they can coast on all the other old shit that, you know, they put out. So it was like, okay, whatever. He's going to put the new songs on, but we don't care about that. We're here for the jams. Right. We're here for our fucking jams. Mm-hmm. So we all, it's funny because I would like text the girls before, like, have y'all listened to this album? They're like, once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like once.
I don't know. I'm not really here for it.
I don't know. I'm not here for it. We're seeing the jams. So anyway, the counter itself was great. He still got it. The band is great. The dances are great. He can sing live. I was very happy. I had floor seats.
Ooh.
And this is the reason why I went to Vancouver, ladies and gentlemen. The gag and the trick is, if you want to hack the Ticketmaster system, you have to go out of the country to go to a show.
Okay.
You want a good seat set a concert?
Yeah.
Go out of the country because we have no regulations here. Ticketmaster can charge whatever they want in fees, and they become insane. I can't afford a floor seat ticket in the United States, anywhere in the United States. It doesn't even matter. Right. Certainly not Madison Square Garden, because those two ladies still live in New York.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I learned through the Beyonce tour, and I think Taylor Swift as well, if you purchase your ticket out of the country, it will be significantly cheaper because they regulate fees and all that bullshit that we do not. So I got floor seats for about $200.
What?
But you got to pay for your flight in the hotel, but okay, whatever. But
sure. Right. If you make it a weekend. Yeah.
Right. What? So I had, we weren't close to the stage. However, plot twist, which interesting. If you guys don't know, I'm very short. I am 5'1", 5'2" on a good day, but I'm really 5'1". With a nice shoe, I'm 5'2". And so one of the things when you're on the floor, it's like, okay, you're not at an angle. When you're in the upper levels, you at least can see at an angle.
Right.
I can't see when there's all these tall people in hats and people with signs and all the other things. So I was kind of like at first a little irritated. But here's what Justin did that changed the game. He walked through the crowd and did the second set on a second stage, which was right behind me. So yes, he was right there for half the show. And that made my entire night. Like I was right there.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure he saw me and looked at me. It was a game changer. That was so smart. That was so smart.
Yeah.
He did his concert in two different spots on the floor, which was super nice. Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yes. So, I mean, look, he sang all the songs I liked, some songs I didn't know from the new album, whatever, ignore. But he played all the songs I loved and danced, and he just seemed, you know what? My one last commentary on Justin is that I've never, in his trajectory of his career from NSYNC till now, he's never given me gracious, humble, appreciative of my fans, of the support I get until this album.
Oh, really?
And this tour. He's always kind of been a little arrogant, and I love Justin, but I'm gonna keep it 100. He never gave me he felt to me, it always seemed like entitled, like, oh, these people like me because of this. It just never felt genuine. Like I like what I do, but it seems to me he took his support for granted.
I
think due to the Britney situation over the past year and some, some of the public relations things, and his album is not doing very well. He seemed genuinely happy that he had a packed house. The fucking place was full. And he seemed genuinely like, wow, it was the first show of the tour. And he seemed genuinely happy and kind of shocked that he was still pulling, supporters and fans to buy fucking tickets. Okay. Yeah, he was like, I am grateful. I'm a little overwhelmed. Like it was humbling. He's never gave me humble ever in his career. And this today or that a couple nights ago felt very humble. Like he was like appreciative that he can still do a tour and have people come and not, and one, me included. So that was like the first ever.
Right. Time feeling that way about him and his sort of, you know, outlook with his fans. I think you're right. Now that I think about it, I bet a lot of that did have to do with the Britney situation. Cause I remember he was getting dragged.
He was getting dragged for a while.
A while. And it like, it just happened. Cause even
the Janet, the Britney, album flop. Like, I don't think he really anticipated getting a lot of support.
Yeah. So I think you're right. I mean, you know, I did see him. What was the last time I saw him was the Man in the Woods tour. And there were moments, but I think it was because, and I don't know if he did it with this tour and this concert, but there were definitely moments where like he was performing. He did have different stages, but like mm-hmm. I felt like the way he set it up was like on the one stage was like his fast shit, and then the other stage was where he did most of his slow jams. And so when he was like in the like the slower jam, because like one almost looked like he was out in the woods kind of thing, so that's where he would like sit down and do his like, you know, more of the ballads or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so when he was on that stage and in those moments, it felt humble because he would take, you know, time, you know, moments and sort of like look at the crowd and just be real, you know, say thank you and would share, mm-hmm. you know, little stories or whatever. So there seemed to be a certain amount of humbleness, but I hear what you're saying. I could see it being like humble to like the nth power because of all the shit that happened this year.
That's been happening to him recently.
Yeah.
Public opinion has not been great on him recently. Right. And I think it's that. And also, you know, he's not 20 anymore. He's 40 something year old man. So it's all kids and a family. Mm. You grow up. And this is definitely a mature version of a person who's been in the business since he was a little kid. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh man, I am so jealous. Damn. It was good. The reason why I was asking about the date of it, because you know that like that that stupid meme, the it's gonna be May, and I like didn't know
it was right before.
Right.
No, he's like so. It's not so old, but it's like the one thing, and I'm like, he's. This is why I always kind of like Justin's very. He likes fame, but like some of the shit that comes with it, he doesn't really embrace. For example, this meme has been around for years and he finally started getting in on the joke.
Sure.
Like the last like year or two. And he like, it seemed like he was annoyed by it for a while. And finally he like lightened the fuck up. And now like, I just saw he had posted the other day, this TikTok he created or whoever, someone created, where this girl's like, what's the one thing that you have mispronounced and to this day it like, you know, it bothers you? And then it cuts to JT and he's like, it was me. Yes, so he did that the day before May 1st. So like he finally is like lightening up on that, but no, he did not do that at the concert. I wanted him to, but he did not. I know.
And I was like, secretly.
Corny. That's what I'm like. He thinks he's like too cool for school, but like you gotta like lighten the fuck up.
Come on, man. After that fucking, what was it? Yeah. Where was he? Move your feet to the beat. Whatever, with the sneaker. Remember the like, where he was doing that like dance.
Poor DC.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. So,
like you're the old guy in the club now, Justin. Just embrace it. Just embrace it.
Basically. Yes. Oh my gosh.
But yes, that was my weekend. Canada to see JT.
I'm jealous. I don't even know how to segue away from that because I want to talk about it so much more because I love him. Okay, maybe this is a good segue. I'll try. Speaking of Canada, do we want to talk?
666666666666. OVO. By the way. A good segue, because while I was in Vancouver being in my Uber, and my Uber was like probably in my same age group, he had a cool little cute Tesla. Anyway, so we're talking back and forth. He's he's Canadian, but not from Vancouver. Mm. And he had lived in Texas for a while. So we're talking about that. So anyway, we're on this like busy, busy street downtown. And I look over and there's this like white guy carrying this big shopping bag with OVO on it and the owl. Mm-hmm. So I'm like,
yeah,
wait a minute. Drake has a store in Vancouver. Oh, and no. He was like, yeah, he has one in Toronto and Vancouver and LA. I was like, I did not realize he had an OVO store. Did not know. Today, years old.
What does he sell?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like sweatshirts. Like it was a shopping bag and it probably was some sort of clothing item. I'm assuming, because I don't know what the fuck he sells there. He has a merch. He's a merch shop and he's a bunch of shops, apparently, according to my Uber driver that I was today years old about. I didn't know he had physical stores.
I'm about to be like, OVO store. I bet you
there's one in LA. Yeah, did not know. And I'm sure there's one in Toronto. And I apparently one in Vancouver as I saw the shopping bag for the first time. But yes, he has a whole store that he clearly.
This can't be. Does this stand for October's very own?
That is Drake. That's his birthday. October's very own.
Why is there Mickey Mouse merch?
Oh, he has full merch. He has clothing.
But not like, a Drake why is shirt. Mickey? Why?
I don't
why?
Know. Oh, he has like full clothing. Okay. I had no idea. Yeah. Today, years old.
No clue.
I thought it was something with like an owl on it saying OVO. I'm Drake. Ha ha ha. No, he is like,
I'm like,
just like that. I didn't know that until Vancouver. So the Canadians support Drake in his clothing endeavors, apparently. But let's get into it. Drake.
How,
go for it, Nikki.
No, I don't know that I can set this up well because I know I just got introduced / caught up all this weekend. So if you guys don't know, there is beef in the streets. Kendrick recently dropped his diss track, dissing Drake. So I met up with some girlfriends on Tuesday. They were talking about it. I will now be honest and tell you, I had no idea what the fuck they were talking about when I showed up. I didn't know. I mean, the only thing I had kind of heard rumblings about was like, there was some issue with like J. Cole, like released some diss track about Kendrick, but then like pulled it back. I do not know a lot of the specifics. I don't know if you, Yentl, can like, my girlfriends did try to explain it to me. Like they sent me all the tracks. I did listen, but I'm still like, I'm not, how did this all start? Like, why did this all start? Like this all feels.
Okay, well, I probably don't know significantly much more, but I think historically Kendrick Lamar and Drake do not get along. So, they had the one song together. What was this? The Poetic Justice remix that Drake is on. This is long fucking time ago.
Okay,
time ago, early Drake, early Kendrick. They did that one song, and they will probably never ever do a song together again. So that was a million years ago. So they, you know, but at some point that the relationship was fractured, or it never really was a relationship. Probably just like, hey, you're on my label. Get on my song. But they never really got along. And throughout the years, Kendrick in particular would put out songs kind of not jabbing Drake specifically, but just saying like, I'm better than all y'all. And all rappers do that. And that's not unique.
Right. That's something new.
And so I think both of them have taken light little jabs at each other. Mm-hmm. Over the last 10 years. So it is what it is. That's what rappers do. They're competitive and you say you're the best. That's what you're supposed to say. What else are you supposed to say? I'm mediocre. So as of last like month and a half, Kendrick was on a feature with Metro Boomin and Future.
Okay.
And the line, they all kind of took not little jabs, big jabs. And at some point, I think one of them, someone said, talked about the big three. And the big three were Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick. They've always called them the big three. And in that song, Kendrick said, there is no big three. There's big me. I'm the biggest.
Oh.
And so that's why I was like, oh, everyone's like, oh, J. Cole got to say something. Drake got to say something, blah, blah, blah. And I think even in the same, even in the same line, there was some shade thrown by Future. So apparently him and Future don't fuck with each other anymore. And like all these things that we really don't know about the industry until they start saying shit on Wax. I feel like such an old lady. There's no such thing as Wax in the digital age.
That was whack. That's what that was. Yeah. You said Wax and that was whack.
I know. That aged me like 30 years. Anyway, so that's sort of the history. So then, and of course, so J. Cole kind of put this weird diss track out, and then his heart wasn't in it because he's J. Cole and all sensitive and shit. And he was like, my bad. I'm not involved in this. Like, I don't give a shit. This is whack to me. I'm out. So J. Cole excused himself from the narrative and he bounced. He has no stake in the game. He's like, I don't care about this. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. So then there's Drake. Drake is Drake. Drake waited maybe a week or two. And then he dropped his bars. And his bars talked about Rick Ross, said a little something about Future, and of course addressed the elephant in the room, which was not an elephant. It was Kendrick. Basically, in that rap, he's saying, you're not that great. I think he's alluding to some fact that at some point, because he owns a nice portion of some sort of label, that he's making money off Kendrick. So he's like, yeah, keep producing music. I make money off you. I own you. So that whole thing, he's trying to like shade. And he talked about a bunch of people.
Yeah. But
that main shooter was Kendrick, because Kendrick was saying, I'm the best. He's like, oh, well, you might be the best, but actually I make money off everything you release. So thanks.
Right.
So it was a little bit of that. And, you know, that came out. And then he post put this weird diss track out because there was no response, where he had Snoop AI.
The AI, yeah.
And Tupac AI like telling Kendrick on what he needs to do to like come out and like respond. So that got weird. And apparently Tupac's estate said, yeah, take that shit down. That's not going to happen. So he had to take it down because he didn't want to get sued.
Shit.
So that is off the internets as we speak. I'm sure someone has it, but you know, it is not officially out because that was fucking weird. And Tupac's estate said, no, remove. Anyway, so that's done. So then a couple maybe about 2 weeks goes by, and then here comes Kung Fu Kenny with his response. So what did you think of his response?
Okay, so I felt like people schooled me on some of the things that were going on. Like, if I just listened to it, I was like, okay. I mean, there's some things that, like, immediately I would have been like, Kendrick is Kendrick. He's a great rapper. I would have been like, yeah, this is great. Now, but there, I felt like what I ended up appreciating about it after certain things were explained to me and I got on the internets and started listening to other things was like all this like inside shit that I didn't know about. So like, so like what's the line about the abs? Like, I'm going to tell people where
abs sketched on or
was
etched
that
on.
A thing? Was that,
it's rumored that he got done. It's a rumor.
But like painted on, or like, did he get like a trans, like a, one of them?
I think it was like the sketch. I think they sketch it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. So, but apparently he got some sort of surgery, and not only do you get that, but you get the sketch involved. Like, you get the prints as well.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, I don't know, but that's been a rumor for years.
Oh, see, so here's the other thing. I think when this all was coming to light and my girlfriends were filling me in, I had yet again one of those moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm old. Because, like, I just remember back in the day, like, I lived for this shit. I was like, wait, what? There's beef? Oh, man, I got to listen to these diss tracks. I'm keeping up. I'm staying up on the, what's going down over here? What's doing? Like the Jay-Z and Nas. That's the biggest one I can remember. But, like, when they were talking about this, I was like, how the fuck did this even get started? I don't even understand. And, like, all the things that, like, so the abs shit. I was like, I didn't even know I had not even heard that. I was like, I didn't even know.
You've never heard that?
No. But like, yeah. but here's the thing. Though. Yeah. I'm already not like, I'm not listening to today's music like the way I listened to music back in the day. So like, it doesn't surprise me. Like, I'm not really, you know, I've gotten off of some of the social medias. Like, I did it. I really did it. Mm-hmm. You know, but like, but that line was hilarious. The Crody, I didn't know Crody was his motherfucking cat or whatever. Like, there's some.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, Crody is like his cat, and so there's like a video out there where like Drake is like doing. I don't know. He's doing an interview with somebody, but he's like, "Oh, that's Crody," but he says it in this weird tone. He's like
Canadian way.
I guess it's gonna. I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird. I don't know. Video or interview. So like, yeah, okay. That's like him. You know, talking about his cat. What else was hilarious? And then one of my girlfriends has been saying this forever, but her issue with Drake is that she feels like he basically like is a cultural appropriator. Like, you know, back when he was doing his shit with like the, was it Views, when he was doing like the Caribbean accent, yeah. Like, oh, these teens and the ta ta ta. Like, she was just like, yeah, you're corny. Like, stop. So she's been saying that forever.
Yes.
So the fact that Kendrick is basically calling him out on that. I thought the funniest thing was like, so I'm listening to it and I'm chuckling. And then the end when they're like, we don't want to hear you say nigga no more. I was like, oh my God, that is fucking hilarious. Like, I don't know. So I am new to this battle. It feels pretty solid that Kendrick has come out on top. I don't know what Drake is going to respond with. I am not sure, but what was your take on the...
I don't know if I am... I don't love either one of them. So okay. So we're going to start there. So that's my baseline. I don't love either one of them. Both to me have great moments, but I can never call myself a Drake fan and I would not call myself a Kendrick Lamar fan. There are moments in their career that I think are fucking dope. But yeah. So let's start there. They're on even playing grounds.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar will forever have more bars than Drake. There's no comparison.
Right.
The fact that he like switched up his flow like four different times in one song, I thought was, but he does it all the time. Impressive to me because that's literally what he does. He's been doing it since he's, you know, been releasing music. That's kind of how he flows, which is great. Not that, because he always does that. I love the beginning. I love that he started with like a sample of
slow jam.
The Blue Notes, Melvin and the Blue Notes, which was amazing. I think the music quality was better. But I wasn't impressed. To me, like lyrically, I felt like he was kind of all over the place. Like how many takes did they do? Because it seemed like he was off rhythm sometimes. And I was like, okay, what's happening here? Is this like the first version of it? Like what cut is this? Because it seemed all over the place. Not just sonically, but just kind of like his flow, which I would never question a Kendrick flow, but that was not impressive to me. I think it was very concise. I mean, they really don't like each other. He was like, I don't like you. Here are the reasons why.
I'm
like,
your biggest hater. Yeah.
I'm your biggest hater.
When you look, I hate
you. God damn. Like, he should be at the player haters ball for fucking Chappelle's show. Like, God damn. I hate you. Hate. That's such a great sketch.
I know, it's amazing.
But yes, I you really don't like this man. The whole thing about Drake and the cultural appropriation, I don't know. I don't know.
It's not,
I have mixed
feelings about it. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
I have mixed feels about it. He's half biracial, half Jewish, grew up with his mama in Canada in the suburbs. With a Memphis father that he saw in the summertime. I don't know what that is. Right. I don't know his life, but you know, he grew up with a white mama primarily in Toronto, in the suburb of Toronto. So, you know, his black culture came later in life. So I won't say he's an appropriator. I don't think that's fair, but he definitely, it does seem like he's more of a observant of culture versus a person who is creating culture, you know? So maybe that's why it feels like he appropriates, because he observes and takes. He doesn't, he doesn't contribute to the culture. And that's kind of, I think, why everyone kind of is like, fuck him. Because like, it feels more appropriating. Like he's a, he takes versus contributes. And that's where it gets nasty.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And I, you know, I think, I don't know, Drake is, and I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it is just that, but there are just times where like, it would bother me. And I was like, why? Like, I think it's almost just like, I don't want to say corny, but it just feels like you're capitalizing on something. So I felt like, okay, so when he was doing, again, I think it was Views, where the fucking, you know, the Jamaican, Caribbean, patois, kind of whatever. I think there was just this feeling of like, you're doing this to like, capitalize on this moment. Because I remember thinking that like, you know, dance hall was like, there was like a revival, maybe because of what like Rihanna was doing and like some other artists and who she was showcasing. And then it just kind of felt like, okay, like, yeah, you can do it. But like, but that's not you. Like, I think you could honor some of these artists and like, you know, show an appreciation, but it just felt like a little too far. It's like, dude, you don't need to do all that. Like, you don't need to take on the accent, but okay, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I will say that I'm not, you know, I think we've talked about it before. I don't think he's like the greatest rapper. Like he's just, I don't see him as a rapper. I see him as like more an R&B guy. So that's why when the Kendrick thing came out, I was like,
You think him more of R&B than rap?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know what rap song of his I like. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, what, because I think we talked about this before. Like, we were talking about, like, would we go to, like, a concert? And I think, I don't know if I'm misremembering my own feelings after this, because of this diss track. But I feel like at the time, I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't know that I would, like, go see him in concert. Like, all his shit is, like, the stuff that I like where he's rapping, I like it because there's other people on the track. Like, I can't think of a track where it's just him. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I love this Drake record. Like I can't think of any, so you know. I don't see him in the same category. I don't know what the future will bring. I think between the two, I'm not that I know a lot about Kendrick, but because I'm not the biggest fan of, you know, Drake, like I'm always gonna defer to Kendrick. Like I feel like he's a rapper. So, you know, and hearing that diss track, I was like, yeah, no, I don't know what Drake's gonna do. I mean, maybe he'll do something smart, but I'm not excited for it. Like I'm curious to see like all the Drake fans. Like are they like, oh man, get ready. Like I don't, are they out there saying that?
They probably are, because he has a strong block of fans. So I am not knocking.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, people love him. I mean, look, you know, you may not be a fan of Drake's, but let's keep it a buck. Like he's been popular since the late 2000s. Like he came out in 2009. It's 2024. Okay. That's very rare for any rapper to have longevity that far. So, I mean, look, people like him, clearly, you know, like he came out in 2009. We were kids and, you know, he's still popular. No, that's very rare in any music, in any industry. So look, I can't knock it there. He he comes out with things. I am starting to like him less because I feel that his music hasn't grown as has matured. Or it has he matured? I don't know. It's just not for me anymore. I can't say the man doesn't have hits because he fucking does have hits. And there's some I love, there's some I don't. But definitely as I've aged, I feel like I've aged out of Drake. Because to me, I don't think Drake is putting out music for a 37-year-old. So,
Right. No, I agree with you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely.
But unfortunately, we as a culture, and this is just culture in general, we love youth. And he now has to capture what the youth want. And that's not what I listen to. So he has to he has a different audience. Like, he got young people now, and he's, catching the wave of young folks and, making songs with features with them. And he's looking at a different demographic. He's not looking at me to buy an album. He's looking at 21-year-olds and 19-year-olds who, still, and of all ages and races, they're looking at Drake. I'm not Drake's demo. I never really was Drake's demo, but at least, I was younger, but I'm really not his demo now because I'm not the new kids. Definitely not. Never really was, but I'm really not. He's like the 19-year-old kid's dream. The 19-year-old white guy's dream. So, yes. I'm definitely not. He's not making music for me. But, maybe at some point he'll grow the fuck up and put out something a little more mature. Now, on the opposite spectrum, Kendrick, I feel like he does put more mature music out, but I hate it. So there we go. You can't win. You can't win. I'll be honest. I'm not picking up his bebop, hip-hop, trap, whatever the fuck he does, his little bebop, hip-hop, jazz, like the last whatever.
One, was it called? Oh, okay.
Hot Steppers.
Yeah.
That's not for me. So, that's what I'm saying. I you can't win me either way. You can't do the mature stuff and make me be interested, and you can't do the young stuff and have me be interested. So, I'm just a lost cause in the hip-hop world.
Oh man, oh that's too funny. Well, yeah. I am curious now that I am caught up. I will admit that I am curious to see what happens. I will probably try to stay somewhat informed because I need to see what Drake does. Because I agree with you. I thought the AI one, some people really heralded it as like being smart, but I was like, hey, this is just weird. I don't know. I feel weird about this. This feels, because it's like it was his Tupac's voice, but like clearly with Drake's flow. So it just, I don't know. It felt odd to me. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I want to be conscious of the time because my girl has got a sports date. So are we, is it time? Do we do our final? Okay, let's do it.
Fucking trivia. Jersey. Trivia.
Ooh. Oh, you Jersey. Did like a whole
trivia.
She's doing a whole.
I'm doing a cheer.
Yeah. Trivia. Oh my goodness.
Jersey trivia. Boom, boom, boom.
Gotta get some trivia today. Trivia. All right. I am ready. Yes.
This is so easy. I'm like embarrassed for myself, but this better be easy, Nikki. I swear to God.
It's not.
This is very easy. Go. Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, Lord.
Here we go. Okay. You always start off like that. Go ahead.
I know, but I'm giving you freebies. This is a freebie today.
I hope so.
In June.
Uh-huh.
In Monmouth Park Racetrack in Oceanport, New Jersey, somewhere on the shore. Anyway, in June. There will be the first annual festival of this particular food product. There will be about 20 to 25 vendors, and they will crown the best of this food product in New Jersey. I'm shocked it's the first annual festival. Okay. There'll be a ton of people, great food, but it is honoring a New Jersey branded food.
Okay.
What festival is coming in June for the first time, by the way, which I think is crazy. Okay. But I digress.
I got two quick questions potentially. First one.
Yes.
Wait, where is it being held? And is it South or North Jersey?
Monmouth Park.
Where's that?
Racetrack. Oceanport, New Jersey. I don't know if it's north or south, but it's probably in the middle.
Oh, then I don't know how to answer this because I don't, what I'm thinking goes by different names.
It's by Monmouth Beach. So middle. It's in the middle. It's in the middle. Like Asbury Park area. Yeah.
A Jersey branded.
First annual festival.
Doesn't make sense, but I'm going to go with it because it's the only thing I can think Jersey branded. When I think of Jersey, this is what comes to mind. I'm going to say Taylor Ham Festival.
No.
Wow.
Try again. You're close, but try again. You're on the right track, though, with Jersey. No.
That's why I was like, North or South? What are they calling it? I'm on the. I don't know. Anything's
Jersey, but it's a Jersey food that we love. Everyone loves it, but you know we have strong pride. There's a few places in the world that have pride in it, and we're one of them.
Disco Fries Festival?
No.
See, this is not. What happens.
One more, Nikki. You're way off.
I don't know.
You're straying away. Off.
Damn.
We're straying away. Something we do well. It's the one of the few things we do well. So the first annual festival of pizza. Pizza, Nikki. Pizza.
Pizza. I don't like this. I'm just gonna sign off. I'm gonna let Yentl do the recap. I'm just closing, shutting down my laptop. I hate you. Whatever.
So fine. My God.
I know.
My God.
I know.
Okay. So yeah, the fucking festival's in June. Go buy yourself a ticket. It's like $20. One of the people. This is why I got excited, because one of them is your neighbor Tony Bologna's is gonna be there. So. Yes. So Nikki lives by a famous pizzeria in Hoboken called Tony Bologna's. And when I saw them as one of the vendors for this event, I was like, oh shit, let me make this a trivia question. So yes, there will be a pizza festival, first annual in New Jersey, which is still shocking to me. But pick, like, they're going to have pizza categories. There's going to be judges and people, the competition of who gets the best this. Best Sicilian slice, best overall, best innovative slice. So there's going to be different like categories you can judge and be a reviewer and a voter. Yeah.
All right. I may have to go and check this out.
I think it would be dope.
I wasn't even thinking of it because I'm like, it's
pizza. Just, yeah.
It's pizza. It's everywhere. And the fact that this is the first one doesn't make sense, but okay.
That's why I kept saying it's shocking to me that this is the first one, but okay.
Okay. Oh, damn. All right. All right, guys. I don't know. I got no excuses. Whatever. Recap, I guess. And then I'll go cry in a corner.
The recap is go Knicks. The second thing is, look, you know, y'all listen to these rap things. You listen to Kendrick, listen to Drake. Where do y'all fall on this? Because I feel like it's split. The internet tonight, everyone has their side. I don't know if I'm picking a side yet. I'm still kind of neutral because, again, neither one are my faves. But I think I'm still going to go with Drake by a hair.
Oh, no.
A little hair. But, yes, please tell me your thoughts and opinions on this Drake versus Kendrick Lamar beef. And lastly, if y'all can go to this festival, go for me, please, because I miss Jersey. Anything New Jersey slices of pizza, please. And let me know who wins the best pizza of New Jersey.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys. We are going to run out of here because Knicks are doing game 6.
Sports!
Sports. Okay. So, hey, thank you
very
so much for listening.
Nikki.
Look, see, I was reading. Thank you for listening. Until next time, keep it Jersey. Bye.
Bye.